stressed out. We don't know anything about that, do we? Stressed out. That's our series that we're in the middle of. And just thinking about different jobs in the Bible that would have been stressful jobs. People that had stressful jobs. Can you imagine Moses and the job that God had given him to take the Israelites and lead them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and knowing what we know of what Moses had to put up with. You know, he rescues these guys, and God does these amazing things. And he's up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, commandments that are going to make their life just amazingly better if they follow them. And while he's up on the mountain, these people that are supposed to be God's people that were saved to be separated and set aside, they're like melting down their jewelry to make a golden calf to throw a party and worship it because Moses has taken too long up on Mount Sinai. And these are the people he's supposed to lead. These same people for 40 years, because they had some spies that went in the land, they were able to go right into the land. God was going to give it to them. But because of spies, they didn't think they could do it. God let them wander in the desert for 40 years. Moses led them for 40 years in the desert, whining about food, whining about being in a desert, whining about being who they are, whining about doing this, whining about doing that. And that was his job. Can you imagine the stress that Moses could have felt? Any of you who have been in management, you can imagine what that would be like to put up with that, to deal with that. Or think about Noah. I mean, Noah was asked to build this ark that had a footprint that was bigger than a football field. He built it in less than 100 years. And he was supposed to take two of every animal on there and store them and care for them. And we're told he was on the ark for a whole year of his life with these animals. Can you imagine? And feeding the lions, trying to make sure that the two mosquitoes actually made it. That would have been stressful for me. But can you imagine the stress of a job? Or maybe Jonah. I mean, we think about Jonah. God goes to him and says, hey, I want you to take my message of forgiveness to this dirty, nasty town of sinners in Nineveh. So Jonah kind of brings some of the stress on himself because he decides not to obey God, goes a different direction, and he's on a boat, and the boat, there's a huge storm that causes the boat and everyone in the boat to be in danger, and it's all Jonah's fault. And I know when I'm in situations like that, and I know it's my fault that I'm bringing problems on other people that are in my boat, I feel awful, and that's a stressor for me. And so he gets thrown overboard, which I think would be stressful. He gets eaten by a fish. More stressful. He gets thrown up by a fish 3 days later. More stress. Then he actually goes to the town. I hope he took a shower or bath or something. But he goes to the town and he shares the word of God's forgiveness with them, and they actually repent. And so he goes to these detestable people. And I look at those stories and I think, you know what, that really is a lot of stress-causing situations. Now, whether or not they felt stress or went through stress or whatnot, we don't know how they handled it. But, you know, after hearing about those stories, suddenly your job doesn't seem so bad now, does it? But for a lot of us, our jobs stress us out. Even if we love our job. Even if we love our job, it's still easy to get stressed out by our job. And that's why this subject made it in the six subjects that we're sharing about in this series called Stressed Out. Last week, we talked about how we're stressed out about my kids. This week, and with it being Graduate Sunday, give you guys some pointers on job searching. This week is stressed out about my job. Now, last week I shared that I believe that God wants us to be stress-free. Now, I got into a conversation with some semantics about that. Now, there is going to be stress in your life. This is more distress-free. We're not to have the negative stress. And that's what hurts us. That's the stress we're talking about. And I believe that God wants us to be stress-free when it comes to that. And that sounds too good to be true for a lot of us. I don't think a lot of us believe that it is obtainable to get rid of the bad stress in our life, to live without it. We're so stressed that we just don't seem that we don't see that it's realistic to even think about such a concept, or to go so far as to believe in it, or to even go so far as to thinking that we can actually live a stress-free life. Call me crazy, but I think this is actually a goal that God wants us to achieve. It's a goal that I believe that God empowers us to achieve. Because we're so much better when we're not stressed out. When we're handling stress correctly. We function better when we're not stressed out. We're better for God's kingdom when we're not stressed out. We're better for our families. We're better for our spouse. We're better for our children, our grandchildren. We're better for our work, our job, our production at work. We're better for the employees we work with. You enjoy life more when you're not stressed out. You live longer when you're not stressed out. We are in better health when we're not stressed out. It's just better. It's common sense. It's better to not be stressed out. And wouldn't it just be amazing to be stress-free? Wouldn't that be great? Are you guys with me on that? I believe that's obtainable. At least what we're talking about, the bad stress, the stress that's negative in our life. So how can we do this with our job? Well, first of all, stress-free does not mean that our job is easy. Stress-free at our workplace does not mean that our job all of a sudden gets easy. Your work is still going to be difficult. In fact, we're promised that our work is going to be difficult, and we have sin to thank for that. Back when Adam and Eve first sinned and God gave the curse that followed sin, in that curse was this section here in Genesis chapter 3. It says to Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground." So until the day you die, your work is going to be difficult. We know that. We're promised that. But see, the problem is we have a hard time separating bad stress from difficult work. We think they come one and together. So if my work's going to be difficult, then it's definitely going to have bad stress with it. We need to separate that. Because the two don't belong together. They live together now because that's the way we live. But in our mindset is we separate these things. And we look at this and we say, life is going to be difficult. Work is going to be difficult. But I can still do it with God's help and have stress-free work. Because if you don't separate those, then Sunday morning you're going to think, man, this is great stuff. This is great. And then on Monday morning, you're going to have a difficult day at work and you're going to say, you know what? Sunday was a waste of my time. You're going to have to separate that for this to work. It will be difficult. You can still achieve it without negative stress in your life. I believe that to be true. So we're going to continue using these success with stress tips that we talked about last week that kind of sound like an infomercial. Success with stress tips. And these are the tips from last week. Know your limits. Build boundaries based on priorities. Okay, so we have limits. We're not Superman. We have limits. You got to know your limits, and then you got to build your own boundaries. You can't have other things building your boundaries for you. We're gonna be exploding these out in a little bit throughout the series, but I'm just helping us to review, get back on track. You need to build your boundaries on priorities, not on circumstances, not on situations that are going on around you. You need to build them on priorities, and this is where we get our priorities, God's word. And then the last one, I love this one. Stop following fools, because that's what we do. And we're stressed out because they're stressed out because we're following. Now, before we go any further, we need to seriously pause and take a look at things right now. And this is my dilemma as a speaker on this subject. Okay, here's the deal. This is a major problem. Families are hurting because of how you treat stress at work. Marriages are suffering because of job stress. Children are emotionally, spiritually, and physically starving because of the stress that you allow your job to cause in your life. You have dangerous, life-threatening health problems because of job stress. You will die younger than you should because of the stress you allow to affect you at work. That's the deal. That's the truth. It's a major problem. And I have some practical wisdom coming to you from God's word. Wisdom that if you apply to your work life today will change things from this day forward. It'll change things for you. It'll change things for your ability to work for the kingdom. It'll change things for your spouse, your family. It can change today. But the reality is, and the frustrating thing is, many of you won't. You'll leave here unchanged, and that hurts. It doesn't hurt my ego. I'm doing my job. Whether or not you listen to me or not, that's your job. It doesn't hurt me on that level. It hurts me because I feel for you, and I'm there with you. It hurts me when I allow this to take precedence over my life, when I allow this to hurt my life, when I allow my job stress to affect my family and me and my health and my well-being and my ability to stay in a job like this for the long term. It hurts me when I see you struggling with this subject, struggling in your families and coming and sharing different things with me that really, if you'd learn how to manage job stress, a lot of these things wouldn't come about. Graduates, learn this. Pay attention, listen. If you're retired, there are things here this morning. You're thinking, you know what, I'm retired, I don't have job stress. No, you're still going to be able to apply a lot of the things that we're talking about this morning. See, I can share from God's word all sorts of wisdom. And if I'm doing my job, it's coming across clearly. Because it's wisdom. If I do my job, then it's just being exposed. But the deal is that you have to be the one to choose a different path today. You have to see the seriousness of this subject. And you have to want to change. And unfortunately for a lot of you, it's going to take some major catastrophe that's going to happen that's going to wake you up and cause you to change. You're going to get a health report from the doctor. You're going to have something happen to a loved one before you realize that you need to change how you handle your stress at work. We have one on the preaching team who had to undergo a 5-way bypass in order to change his way of looking at life. Change today. Change for God. Change for your family. Change for you. So let's go. Let's explode this whole success with stress tips. We're going to look at these one by one and how that we apply them to removing stress from our work. So the first tip is to know your limits. We all have limits. We're not supermen. We're not superwomen. We have limits. And we have to know those limits. We have limited resources when it comes to our job, when it comes to our time. We have not only limited resources, we have fixed limited resources. All right, that's good. Let's write that down. That sounds good. Let's write that down. I have fixed limited resources. Okay, go on and write that down. You're taking notes in your bulletin. And what does that mean? That means that I have resources that are immovable. They are finite. They are concrete. There's nothing that I can do to expand these resources. They are fixed and they are limited. When you spend them, they're gone. Fixed, limited resources. Three major fixed, limited resources that we have at work and our job are time, energy, and emotions. See, we don't take the time to look at our limits. We just go just trudging through life, head first, just running. We don't take time to say, okay, what are my limits here? What can I do? What can I not do? What holds me back? What limits me? And then what happens is we try to expand these limited resources, these fixed limited resources, and when we try to expand them and we realize you can't expand them, then we get frustrated and then you get stressed out. That's where it comes from. You only have 24 hours in a day. That's it. That's all you're ever going to have in a day. Except for 2 days in a year. One day you get 25 hours, the other day you get 23. But really, they average each other out. You have 24 hours in a day. That's not going to change. No matter what you do, you still have 24 hours a day. That is a fixed, limited resource. That is time. What happens is we try to fit more in that than we can, and we get stressed out because that is a fixed, limited resource. It's not going to budge. And what happens? We get stressed out. You have a certain amount of energy. And boy, we try to expand this. We do energy drinks. We're popping caffeine. We're drinking coffee. We're taping our eyelids open. We're doing anything we can to try and expand that. But really, energy is a fixed, limited resource. When you run out, you're done. You're out of energy. You have to replenish that. You have to get it back in you. It's a fixed, limited resource. When we try to expand that, and we don't realize that it's fixed and limited, then we get stressed out. Emotions. Emotions are another fixed, limited resource. Psychologically, you can only take so much. Now, this varies from individual to individual, but every individual has a stopping point where they just cannot take anymore. And you are spent emotionally. It is a fixed, limited resource. And you get to a point, pow, I'm done. I have no more emotions left. I can't take anything more psychologically. I can't function mentally. And you have to get away. You have to replenish. So let me illustrate what happens here. Okay, so you got a fixed, limited resource. That's all you have. And so what we do is we take our work and we say, well, you know what? I got to work because that's where I make the money, and I got to have the car. I got to have the cows. The kids got to have the clothes. And they got to have, oh. Well, you know what? They got to have this and that, and we got some other activities that they need. You know, well, you know what? But I do need to sleep some. That's kind of important. And so we take some of our time and we pour it into sleep and we say, but you know what? I've got a wife and I need to spend some time with her because if I don't, it's not really good, but I'm still tired. I need some sleep. And we got to spend time with our family, you know, which is not just wife, but we got the kids too and things going on there. And we got other things. We got some me time here and I need to get away. I need to play some golf. We need to exercise or whatever. Maybe it takes a little bit of time away from the family time, or maybe we take a little bit of sleep time. We stay up a little late because we're wanting to do a little something for ourselves. And what happens is we let these things just kind of proportion themselves out. Then when work has a day that is a little extra, a little more, and we need to spend a few more hours. And we say, you know what? When I'm spending time with my family, I'm really spending time with my spouse, so, you know, that works out. You know, we can do that. You know, I still want to play golf, so I'm just not going to sleep as much. Something's got to be fixed around the house. So then I take some family time and I put it in the other because that has to be done. And what happens? We're stressed out. Because this is, you have a fixed, limited resource. You can't make any more of this. This is all there is. And so what happens is we have to go to step number two. Tip number two is build boundaries based on priorities. I want you to write this down. I have to be responsible enough to budget and invest my fixed, limited resources. It's a big, big sentence to swallow. I have to be responsible enough to budget and invest my fixed, limited resources because you can't expand them. You have to learn how to budget them. You can't make more of them, so you have to learn how to put them in places where they're going to best suit you and best work. And what that takes is that takes discernment. That takes wisdom. You shouldn't be asking for a better job or more money or more time or more energy. What you need to do is you need to ask for more wisdom, more discernment. And I'm guilty. Some of you who know me real well, you're like, how in the world are you preaching a sermon on this? I am working on this, and I'm seeing some success. So I'm a work in progress. I'm with you on this. But I have an obligation to my commitment to God to share truth, and to share truth that's going to be beneficial to you. Whether or not I can keep up with it or not, that's another thing. Truth is truth. And if this is going to help you, it's going to help me. Wherever I am on my journey, that's where I'm at, and I'm doing the best I can. But I know this is good stuff. This is good stuff for every one of us. Because I catch myself praying, God, I know I'm only going to get 3 hours of sleep tonight. Make it the efficiency of 7. I'm not alone, am I? God, if you could cause all the green lights to be green so I can make it there because I haven't budgeted my time out well, get to the end of the week. Sunday's going to come every week. There's a message every Sunday. You know, and we have to use discernment. We have to make wise choices no matter what the situation or circumstances. If we choose discernment, then we can make those. King Solomon, when he was given the responsibility of watching over the whole kingdom, he shares with God, he says, I need discernment. I need you to give me a discerning heart. And God says, you know what? Since you didn't ask for all the other things you could have asked for, money, wealth, prestige, power, you know, for all of your enemies to fall over dead, since you didn't ask for those things, that's actually in there somewhere in the, skip to the next one. Yeah, there will be moreover. Oh, no, it is back then. Back one more. Lord is pleased. So God said, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth or yourself or have asked for the death of your enemies, but you've asked for discernment. God says, I'm going to give you discernment. I'm going to give you a wise, discerning heart. And not only that, but all these other things are going to come with it. Because that's what comes with discernment. It's a natural progression. So when you ask for discernment and you gain discernment, then all the other things are going to fall into place. All these other things are going to follow. Solomon knew the importance of doing that. He knew the importance of asking for that. See, with wisdom comes all the other things. Jesus told a parable about some guys that were given some money by their master. The money was called talents. And he gave one of the servants 5 talents. This is a certain sum of money. He gave another servant 2 talents, and he gave another servant 1 talent, and he left. And then when he came back, he asked what they had done. Well, the guy that had 5 talents, he had invested his 5 talents, and he got 10 talents because his investment brought over 100%. That's kind of nice. So he had 10 talents. He was proud of his servant. You did a good job. Well done. He goes to the guy that had 2 talents. He also had invested his talents wisely, and he had gotten 2 more talents back. So he had, come on, math, 4 talents. And his master was proud of him because, once again, percentage-wise, that's pretty awesome. Then he goes to the guy that had 1 talent, and he said, what did you do with your 1 talent? And he said, well, here it is. He's, you know, knocking dust and dirt off of it because he had buried it. He said, because I know that you're stern. I know that you're, you know, this is important to you. And so I buried it so I'd have it so that I could give it back to you. And, man, he got irate with this servant and just chastised and kicked him out, took away his 1 talent and gave it to the guy who had 10. Because he didn't invest it wisely. Now, when we look at this parable in Matthew chapter 25, it is nestled, it is sandwiched in between 2 parables that talk about the end of times. The parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the sheep and the goats. So when we look at this parable in context, it's telling us you need to learn how to invest in things that are going to benefit in the long term, in the long run. Not just retirement. We're talking the end of times. We're talking the end of your life here. See, as we're reading in the context, we have to understand that we are to be responsible with the resources we are given while we are here on earth, because we will have to give an account for how we use them. So we must pray for discernment, because we need discernment to know how to invest wisely, and we need to invest in things that are going to bring us the best return. Investing in areas that will give us the best result, not just for retirement, but for the end of our time here on earth. Those are the things we need to be investing in. But that won't happen if you don't budget what you have. So here's what that looks like. Let's kind of start all over. It's going to be kind of easy since a couple of them are empty. Put that on more stable ground there. Work back in there. So we got our fixed, limited resources. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add one, because there's one up here that we're missing that we really need. And that is margin. Can you say that with me? Margin. All right, it's not Spanish, it's not French, it's not a foreign language, but I know a lot of you don't understand this word at all, okay? It's margin, it's building some space, some cushion in your life. And so we need to bring that one in, and then what we need to do is we need to budget. We need to specify and say, And actually, you guys are going to have to come back on the 19th. And if you're going to come back on the 19th, you might as well come back next Sunday and just make a habit of it. Because the 19th, I'm going to describe where I get these percentages. But right now, I do not have time to describe it. So I'm just going to give you some cold percentages. Just trust me, they make sense later. Okay? So about 10%, we're going to budget 10% out to margin. We're going to budget 33% out to sleep, 30% out to work, 9% to my spouse, 9% to my family, and 9% to other. Now we've got some budgets, and we can go to this and we can say, okay, I've got, well, we need to go over here because you got to start with the margin. Otherwise, you won't get it budgeted out. So you budget margin out and you say, okay, I've got my 10% margin. I want to make sure that I'm getting my 7 to 8 hours sleep a night because that's so important in keeping your sanity and staying away from being stressed out. And you say, you know what? I want to go to work and I want to work the right amount of hours. And that way I'm going to have plenty of time left for my spouse, plenty of time left for my family, and plenty of time left for me. Do some stuff around the house. See what else we got. You can always add some in the margin. That's always good. All right. So when you budget things out, you say, okay, we're looking at time right now. I want to budget my time out. So we look at these percentages, but these percentages also work with emotional energy or energy and emotional tasks. You know what? I've only got this much energy that I'm going to use at work. Because oftentimes what we do when we pour all these things into work and we come home and we sit on the couch because we're done. We don't have any more energy left. I got a project I was hoping that you go out and fix the deck, you know, because it's kind of unsafe. The rails aren't really solid. I'm done. I'm tapped out. I'm out of energy. I have a fixed limited resource and I used it all at work and I'm stressed out because I did that. Emotional energy. You come home, you don't want to spend any time with the family. You go to and you spend all your me time for you because you need that replenishment. You need to restore because you don't have any more emotional energy left for your family. But what happens when you budget this out and you say, you know what, work, you only get 30%. You only get 30% of my energy. You only get 30% of my emotions. And when you get to that 30%, you're done. Now, there is some flex here, and this is the beauty of this. I got a project that it's going to take 9 hours instead of 8 hours. Oh, yeah. Margin. Looky there. 9-hour workday and no one else suffers. Nice. That project took a little longer to accomplish, but that's okay. I had margin. And then if you have to dip in, it's not as invasive and it's not something that happens every day. And you can avoid being stressed out by being responsible enough to use discernment, a biblical concept, to invest in things that are going to be important for the long haul. Instead of putting everything into retirement, you're putting things into everything, putting your health, your sleep, being able to be around your family longer because you slept the right amount of hours, being able to be around your spouse and develop your family, and being able to raise your kids instead of watching them grow up. And take away the stress. So we need to budget. We need to build boundaries based on priorities. And number three, love this one, stop following fools. Stop following the buffoons over here that are stressed out, pulling their hair out, divorcing, having all sorts of problems. Their kids are crazy. Things aren't working out. Why do you follow them? But we do, don't we? Why? Because they're successful. They drive the company car. They've got all the money, so they must be doing something right, but they're not. You need to be the forerunner in doing the right things because you are God's children and you have wisdom beyond this world. So stop following fools. Work for the right reason. We are made to produce. It's not about the promotion, it's about the production. Do you hear me, Christians? It's not about the promotion, it's about the production. We get stressed out because we get this all mixed up. It's not about the house you live in or the car you drive. It's about the satisfaction at the end of the day that you did your job and you produced something. And when you're doing that, you're not dealing with being stressed out about your job because your job's meaningless and purpose and lacks purpose. But you're leaving your work not because a pay stub showed you you had value, but because of what you produced at your job showed you you had value. Stop following fools. Stop following the fools that follow the paycheck. And follow God's work ethic. I mean, let's do something crazy here. As Christians, let's follow God. Does that make sense? Now, I want to go to an obscure place to get a couple of pointers here, and then we're going to go to kind of an obvious place as we close things down. The obscure place is John chapter 15, and this is a passage where Jesus is talking about our relationship with God, and if we stay in the vine, we stay in him, we'll have life. If we're separate from him, we won't have life, and he's the vine, we're the branches, and all this stuff. How he starts this is something I just want to pull out just a little snippet of this and take a different angle on it for this subject. And it is the very beginning of that passage. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the what? The gardener. He's the worker that takes care of the garden. It's his job. He's the gardener. Jesus identifies these jobs. I'm the vine. I'm just the vine. God is the worker. He's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. This is a glimpse into the way that God does his job as the gardener. And I think this is so valuable for us as we're trying to get stress out of our workplace. God's a gardener. How does he do his work? Well, he cuts off branches that bear no fruit. So wouldn't it be wise for us to do the same thing? Cut out work activities that don't produce. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Follow God, don't follow the fools. Get rid of the things that aren't productive in your work time. Cut them out. Don't waste your fixed, limited resources on things that aren't productive. What else does God do? Well, he takes the branches that are bearing fruit and he prunes them. So we need to prune work activities that do produce. Prune them. What does that mean? What do you mean pruning? You streamline them. You take the things that are producing and you make them even more effective. And your whole goal there is efficiency and the things that are going to give you the most production with the least amount of effort. That's not lazy. That's wise. That's a good work ethic. It's a God work ethic. Prune so that those that are producing fruit will produce more fruit and better fruit. Shoot for efficiency. Here's some tips that I've read that fit in this category. Put your most valuable activities in the first 4 hours of your day. That way you're putting your most efficient time, your most efficient energy, your most efficient emotions, your fixed limited resources, you're putting the first ones right there in the things that are going to give you the most return for your work. You prune by picking those parts that are most productive. You see how that's pruning? You look at what's happening in your work life, you say, this is most productive, this is most productive, this is most productive, and you put them in the first 4 hours of your day, and you make them even more productive. You're pruning. You're pruning. Items that take a lot of effort and yield no real impact, they need to be pruned off because they're sucking nutrients away from the shoots that could be very productive. So you get rid of those. That's part of the cutting off process as well. Make deadlines for yourself and stick to them. If you got a real deadline, make a deadline before it and stick to it. And what this does is you say, you know what? I've got a fixed, limited resource. I've got time, I've got energy, I've got emotions, and I've only got this much that I can spend on it to get it done. If you don't, you'll spend everything you got to get it done, and then what other projects have whatever else, and then you've got family and all the other things that we're talking about. But you set a personal deadline. You say, okay, by noon tomorrow, I have to have this project done no matter where it's at. I have to have it done. Use the energy, time, emotions that you got to get it done. And that's pruning. Because you're streamlining, you're making things more efficient. Work your 8 to 10 hours and then leave. Leave. There's a point where you get to diminishing returns. I know this very well. And the more you work and the longer hours you work and the more tired you get, then the less that gets done. Because you're just exhausted. You're trying to expand those limited resources and they're spent. If you can't get it done in 8 to 10 hours, then you didn't prune enough. And you didn't cut out the things that are taking up your time, energy, and emotions that don't need to be. So then you start the next day and you try it again. And we keep going until we start getting it right and we start getting stress free and we start realizing this is what work is supposed to be like. Another place where you can see God's work ethic is in the first few chapters of Genesis as he creates the world. Everything living in the world. As God does his creation, I encourage you to go back and read that in Genesis chapter 1. After each day of creation, God stands back and he goes, yeah, that's good. You know what? We need to do that. Remember when Jesse and I were first married and we went out and we washed our cars together and we waxed them and, you know, when you had time to do that. And man, they looked really nice. And she was like, okay, I'm going to go on to my next thing, you know. No, come back here. I need to teach you something. I need to teach you a man thing, okay? You got to admire it. I said, you got to walk around it. You got to do this. You got to walk around the other side. And I said, and then gradually you have to start getting a little bit of a head nod in there because that just kind of, that kind of grows, kind of accelerated. Am I right, guys? And you get done, you're like, I did good. We need to do that. We need to learn how to celebrate. We need to learn this from God. We need to pause and enjoy what we produced. Pause and enjoy what we produced that day or that time. When you finish a project, step back for a minute. Look at it. Enjoy it. That'll help drop your stress level down because you're enjoying what you've produced. And you're just following God's example. You're just doing what God did, his work ethic. God worked 6 days. He took a seventh day and he rested. So what else do you need to do? You need routine rest from your job. Just follow God. Stop following the fools. Follow God and watch how your stress level drops. I want to see awesome things from you guys. Because you followed God's word. I want to see your stress level drop and even diminish the negative stress level at your workplaces. Not because you listen to some crazy guy that can't even keep up with his own words, but because you listened to wisdom that came from God and you stopped following fools, you started following God, you started budgeting your time and investing things with wisdom. You created boundaries based on priorities. And you realize, you know what, I do have limits. I need to take that into consideration. And I want to see you guys living stress-free. And I want to see what that does for the kingdom.